this morning, I'm talking on, basically, Jaco asked me to talk to you guys on accepting others and trust. Because you guys, more or less the same place, I believe that we are, we're in a place of really hearing God asking us, or God telling us that the place He's calling us to is a place where we dwell together in unity, but also in love, to love one another. I just know that with the body of Christ, and if I say that, I don't refer to only to Sakopmund, only to Windhoek, or only to Shofar. I really believe God is calling His body to a place of unity. I really believe that God is calling His body to a place of restoration. Because I think for too long, churches have been going on doing a lot of things, but there's no love in the church. There's no love between people in church, between each other. And to me, I really feel like God is saying, but this is enough. This has got to stop. You know, if the world looks towards the church, they shouldn't be asking us, okay, so what do you have for us? They shouldn't be asking us, okay, so what programs are you running? And those kind of things. They should be drawn to the love that they see between us. Because that's something the church is supposed to have that the world does not have. It's the love of Christ that's inside of us. So I really believe God is calling us to a place where it's almost like He's saying, listen guys, this is the standard. You are not the ones to set the standard of what that love looks like, or that love looks like. I'm the one to set the standard. And it's time for the church, for the body of Christ, to come up to that standard. And I know if we talk about love, we talk about the love of Christ, we know that God has sent His Son Jesus. That God is calling us to a place where that love between us can become real and can become visible. Because I think in church a lot of times what you see is people all hugging and all doing all their things, and going out and gossip about each other. That's not the love God is calling us to. He's calling us to a place where that love is real, where we really care about each other, and where we will lay down our lives for each other. That's why Jesus gave us the example of Him laying down His life for each of us. And He's calling us to a place of following Him where He's at. And I know that's where He's been. So He's calling us to that same place. I want to read a scripture. Matthew 22 from verse 36 to 39. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Jaco asked me to talk about acceptance and trust, about accepting each other and trusting each other, and how that fits into this whole thing of loving one another. And when I prepared, I just realized, but we can't talk about accepting one another, we can't talk about trusting one another without talking about love. Because you see, you can only accept other people if you love them. You can only trust other people once you've come to a place of accepting them and loving them. So therefore, it's important for us to first to talk about love. Love amongst each other. The love we're supposed to have for each other. And if we read this scripture, what I see here is there's three things I just want to point out on the scripture. The first thing is, when I read it, that I've noticed is that this is not a picture of Jesus sitting underneath a tree talking to His disciples, saying to them, guys, you know, I've got a suggestion here. What if you love one another? This is not a picture of Jesus sitting under a tree saying to the guys, I've got a great idea. Use it, don't use it. This is a picture of Jesus saying, this is the commandment I give you. The first and greatest commandment is that you will love God with everything you've got. And the second that's the same as that, is loving one another. It's loving your brothers and loving your sisters. It's not a suggestion. It's not something you should go and try. He's actually saying this is something you must do. This is something you must get right. You're not just trying it. So you see, it's important for us to realize that God is very serious about this thing of loving one another. Of this thing of loving someone else like you love yourself. Because immediately what I see there is God putting it down a standard. Saying this is the way you should do it. Not just saying, okay, love other people. Oh Lord, we love everyone. No. This is the standard. You should love them in the same way that you love yourself. The second thing I want to say about this scripture is, if I look at it, what I see is a call for community or a call for fellowship. And why I say that is because it says that you must love one another. You must love your neighbor like you love yourself. Now, I'm sorry, I don't know if you're different than I am, but it's not that easy to love someone if you don't spend time with him. That's why I say it's a call for community. It's a call for coming together. You need to spend time with people to get into a place of loving them. To get into a place where you will lay down your life for someone else. It was, I remember when I've got three children, Joshua, Marie, and Emma. They're 13, 12, and 8 years old. And I remember with our first child, with Joshua, when he was born, like the first day or the second day with this new baby in the house and everything, so I was kind of struggling with myself, and I went to my wife and I told her, you know, I don't know if there's something wrong with me or anything like that, but I had this idea of when my child is born and I'm a father for the first time, that you'll just overflow with compassion and love towards your child. And I said, but I don't. I don't feel that. I thought it was going to be different. But you know, within a week that changed. It wasn't something wrong with me. I was just supposed to first spend time with my child. Because the moment I started to spend time with my child, even if it's forced, something grows, okay? And why I say this, if you've got children, and you might think, especially with the first one, okay, I'm going to spend this much time with my child. But if that first baby is in your house, you're not the one to decide how much time you're going to spend with your child. And not all that time is great time you've got together, you know. A lot of that time is frustration and not knowing and wondering and begging God and a lot of things. But you learn very quickly. But the point I'm trying to make is by spending time together, love grows. Because I will lay down my life for my children. Because I love them. But in the same way, if I look at the scripture, I can see God calling us to that same kind of place. To that kind of place where we are willing to lay down our lives for other people. And by coming to church on a Sunday, it's not going to make it happen. It's not enough. God is calling us to a place where we, our lives get all mixed up. Where we get together. Where we do things together. Where we spend time together. Sometimes it will be great times. And other times it will be difficult times. But through all of that, we will grow closer to each other by the grace of God. And that's the place where God is calling us to. The third thing I want to say about that scripture, the end of it, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now there God puts the standard. There God tells us, okay, so this is what it's supposed to look like. The same way you love yourself, that is the love I want to see between you and other people. That's the love that's supposed to be there. So how do we love ourselves? It's very simple, actually. You know, I think a lot of times if we think about it, we can look towards ourselves. I'm not talking about standing in front of the mirror and thinking, eh, different color hair or this or that. Not talking about that. A lot of times we look at ourselves, we look into our hearts, what God has created us to be, but also about what's going on in our hearts. And not all of that is something that God necessarily planned for each of us. But we look into our own hearts. And it's easy in the beginning to say, okay, I like this about myself. I'm happy about this. I'm happy about the fact that God has changed this thing in my heart. And we can name that kind of things that we think, okay, but this is all right. And if we're really honest with ourselves, then we get to a place where we can say, okay, I don't like this. Yeah, I see something that I know that's not supposed to be there. Yeah, I see something that I know God don't want this in my life. But still, I accept myself. Still, I love myself with the good and with the bad. And you see, that's the kind of place that God is calling us to for His church. He says that we should love others like we love ourselves, meaning accepting ourselves with the good and the bad, just the way we are. That's the place God is calling us to. But you see, to get to a place where God is calling us to a place where we are willing to trust the people around us, where we are willing to accept people just the way they are, something needs to change with us. And that's why it's important for us to talk about this, to talk about trusting other people and to talk about accepting other people for who they are. Now, if we look at trust, if we talk about trusting other people, now there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talks about loving one another. There's a lot of scriptures in the Bible where it tells us that we should love other people. It's all over. And I went and looked for a scripture that will tell me that we should trust other people. There's none. There isn't a scripture in the Bible that says you must trust other people. Trust other people with all your heart, all your soul. It's not there. There isn't a scripture like that, which is quite interesting. But what I found is a lot of scriptures saying that we should trust God. There's a lot of scriptures that says that all our trust we must put in Him. That I found. And I want to read you an example of one of those scriptures, because what it actually does is on the subject of trust, it tells us what that trust towards God should look like. If we trust God, what must it look like? What's it supposed to be? Because maybe we've got a wrong idea of trust. So what a scripture says that trust looks like, and I'm just going to read you one scripture. It's in Psalm 143 from verse 6. And it says, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me now the way I should go. Make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge, teaching me to do your will. For you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversities of my soul, for I am your servant. You see, what I see if I read this is I see someone pouring himself out, pouring out his soul towards God. But something else I see here that I found it quite interesting is it's like you see the good and the bad. Because you see someone coming to God, pouring himself out, telling God what he needs, but also talking about his enemies. And may I say, what he's saying about his enemies is not all that great. You agree with me? is not all that great, the things that he said about his enemies. Verse 12, and you will, and in the steadfast love you will cut off my enemies, and you will destroy all the adversities of my soul, for I am your servant. Doesn't really sound about, you know, this loving feeling towards his enemies. But you know what I noticed what I realized when I've read that? Is this is someone pouring out his heart towards God, not putting up a front. He's not praying a prayer, a religious prayer, where he's saying all these nice things that sound nice, you know, the things that he think God would like to hear. He's saying what's in his heart. At that time, in that place, I don't think he's experiencing love towards his enemies. And he's saying it to God. And that shows me that he really trusts God. Because he's not afraid of God rejecting him because of what is in his heart. You see this? He comes to God with everything, good and bad, that's inside his heart, knowing that God will still accept him. He's open and he's honest towards God. That's trust. Because a lot of times we make the mistake to think, but okay, my prayers must be like this, and I must say all these nice things. What is there that God would like to hear so I can say that things so that God can answer my prayers? But God is saying, no, come to me just the way you are. Bring everything to me. And he's looking towards God for redemption. He's looking to God as being the one that will save him. God being the one that will give him direction. God being the one that will lead him out of that place where he's stuck. Getting out of there. That's the picture of trusting God. It's about giving over to him completely. And if you think about that, if the Bible talks about trust towards God like that, then I can understand why there's no scripture saying you should trust other people. Because you see, we are supposed to put trust in other people, but that trust is looking a lot different than the trust we should have towards God. And why I say that, I want to read you another scripture. There's a big difference in the trust between God that we're supposed to have towards God and the trust we're supposed to have towards people. Because if we in that place of saying, but okay, so trust we see is this person opening up his soul, putting all his trust, putting everything into God, we know that's not what it's supposed to look like with people. We know we're not supposed to give over our everything towards other people. We're only supposed to do that towards God. We know if we're looking for redemption, if we're looking at, we're in a place where things are going difficult and we want to be saved, you're not supposed to put someone there and hoping that this person will save me. Only God can save you. I want to read you a scripture in James 5 verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you can be healed. Now, what is that sins that we're confessing towards each other? May I say, I think a lot of times that's the things we're trying to hide from other people. Can we be honest here for a moment? A lot of times it's that things that we're hiding from other people. A lot of times it's those things we don't want other people to know about. We don't want other people to see. And what God is doing is he's saying to us, confess your sins to one another that you may be healed. So what's God saying here? He's calling us to a place of opening ourselves up to other people, isn't he? He's calling us to a place of making ourselves vulnerable to other people, isn't it? He's calling us to a place of trusting other people. Will you confess your sins to someone you don't trust? I won't. You see, God is calling us in a place of relationship where we will trust other people with what's going on in our lives. Remember what I said? This trusting people is looking a lot different than trusting God. Other people can't give you redemption. Other people can't save you. Other people is not supposed to be your hope and your future. Other people is not supposed to be your rock. Only God is. So the picture of trusting other people is looking a lot different than the picture of trusting God. We are supposed to put our trust in God, not in people. But God is calling us, according to the scripture, God is calling us to a place of still trusting other people. But that trust is looking different. It's a place of trusting people to walk with you so that God can do something in your life. It's not a place of trusting someone to be the breakthrough. God is the breakthrough. That's the difference. That's the place God is calling us to. But if I look at the scripture, the thing that caught my eye, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You see, part of coming to that place of receiving your healing, you need to open up to other people. So the healing doesn't come from the other people. The healing comes from God. But part of receiving that, it's important for us to be able to open up towards other people. So what I see, if I look at the scriptures, I really see God calling us to a different kind of place of relationship. He's calling us to a place of relationship where we need to have fellowship together, where we need to grow in relationship together. And for a lot of us, our healing lies in that place. God is the one bringing the healing, not someone else. God is the one bringing the healing. But the fruit, a lot of times what we see is the fruit of our relationship with other people is healing. That comes from God. And it's almost like it's a challenging place God is calling us to. Because I think for a lot of us, we're thinking, but, you know, God, you know, can't it only be like you and me? Won't it be a lot easier? Because now it's me and all these people and you. And now I first need to, you know, manage relationships and manage time and all this kind of stuff. But, you know, God, I so love you. God, I only want to spend time with you. So what's the first commandment? And the second one that goes with it? Okay, so if you say you've got all that love to me, do you know how I want you to show it? Towards the people around you. Stop saying to me how much you love me. Show me that love towards the people around you. Because a lot of times, I think as Christians, we like to talk about things. But we weren't called only to talk. We were called to a place of making a difference. It's time to go over to action. Because we can talk about love all day long. But what God is actually saying is, I want to see that love. Stop saying to me, you love me, and carry on about that. Show it to me. Show it to me towards other people. That's the place God is calling us to. And that brings me to the topic of acceptance. Because we've talked about trust now. We talked about the fact that God is calling us to a place of trusting one another on this journey that we're walking together. But there's also that thing of accepting other people. And you see, you can't trust other people if you don't accept them. You can't put trust in people if you don't accept them. We first need to accept other people just the way they are before we can grow to a place of trusting them. scripture I want to read is Romans 15, verse 7. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. The King James Version says, receive one another as Christ has received you. Now, if we welcome one another, if we receive one another, that means we're talking about a place of accepting one another. And I don't know how about your lives, but I know in my life when I first came to Christ, things were a mess. If I looked at my life back then and think about other people or God that must accept me like that, it's by His grace that He did. And what He's saying is, accept other people like I have received you. Now, I don't know what your life has looked like when you got saved. I don't know what your life looks like today. Because even today, I can look at my own life. And I can see there's still a lot of things that's not the way it should be. That's not the way that God is calling me for that to be. But still, He accepts me. And what I realize if I think about this is that God accepts me just the way I was. Now, what He's telling us is, so in that same manner, you need to accept other people just the way they are. And you see, the thing about accepting people is you can't be prejudiced and you can't judge them. If we judge other people, we can't receive them. We can't accept them. We can't. If I think back to the day that I got saved and with everything that was going on in my life, if I think back at that day of standing in front of God saying, Lord, here I am. And I remember that day, my sins, I've called them by the name. I said, Lord, here I am. I'm stuck in this. I've got this thing in my life. I've got this thing and this thing and this thing. I do not deserve to be saved. But yet, Lord, here I am. You know what happened that day? God accepted me. He did not judge me. If God judged me on that day, I would not have been saved. If God judged me on that day, I would not have been standing here today. But that day, He did not judge me. He received me just the way I am. And what God is telling us here is he's telling us, listen, in the same way that I received you that day and today, I want you to receive other people. If you look at people around you, there's a lot of people around you, you look at them and what you see is you see a lot of things that's not the way it's supposed to be. You look at the lives of other people and you think, but you know, only if this person can only sort out this thing, if this person can only get this thing behind them. But what God is saying is not for you to judge them. I want you to receive them with everything they've got, the good and the bad. I want you to receive them where they're at today. Carol, will you do the keyboard for us? Thanks. I want you to receive other people where they're at. May I say, with all the good, the bad, and the ugly, I want you to receive other people. And you see, something that's quite important when it comes to this topic of judging other people, you can't love someone that you judge. I want to say it again. You can't love someone that you judge. Now, there's a lot of times where I've heard people saying to me, you know, outside of church, they just experience this love for people. It's like they're experiencing God's love for certain people. But they don't experience that same love in church. You know why not? Because they're judging the church. They're judging the rest of the body, so they can't experience God's love there. Because I can promise you, His love is there. But if you're not experiencing it, it's easy to blame the other people and say, oh, but they, God is saying, no, 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 you need to accept them just the way they are. Because if you can accept them like that, then you will experience that love. Because the love is there. So God is calling us to a kind of challenging place. To receive people just the way they are. Accepting them with everything that's in their lives. Okay? With everything that's in their lives. He's expecting us to receive them. There's another scripture I want to read that when I've heard it the first time, I thought by myself, man, but this is challenging. This is almost like this is not the kind of thing I wanted to hear. And it's Matthew 12, verse 30. And it says, whoever is not with me is against me. Okay, so it's easy to think, but that's kind of obvious, Lord. You're either with me or we're against you. But then it carries on to explain what does this with me and against me looks like. He says, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. So with each of us, what God is saying, you're doing one of two things. I'm doing one of two things. I either gather or I scatter. There's no in between. And if I gather, I'm with God. If I scatter, I'm against God. This is what he's saying. And you know, up to now we've talked about love. What that love looks like. It's about accepting people just the way they are. But also what we know is that God is calling us to a place of trusting people around us. Not putting your trust in people like it's supposed to be with God. But trusting people around you for God for breakthrough. But also what we see if we look at the scripture, God is saying, okay, but now you either gather or you scatter. And we know with trusting God, trusting other people, we make ourselves vulnerable. And I actually want to challenge you this morning. The place of making yourself vulnerable. And in this moment, not towards what other people say, what other people think, or anything like that. But for a moment, I want to challenge you to make yourself vulnerable towards yourself. By opening up your heart and allowing God to show you what you need to see this morning. Because you know, with each of us, we know, or God knows everything that's in our hearts. He doesn't do things so that he can see what's in our hearts. He do things so that we can see what's in our hearts. I want to ask you to, can everyone just stand up, please? And I want to ask you to close your eyes. And for a moment, just to forget about everyone else that's in this place. For a moment, just forget about who's sitting next to me. What do I say this morning? To forget about everything else. And to make yourself vulnerable now towards God. And to allow him to show you what you need to see this morning. Allow you to show you, him to show you what's in your heart this morning. Now I want to ask you a question very straight this morning. Are you gathering? Or are you scattering? If you look around yourself, if you look at the relationships that's around you this morning, are you gathering or are you scattering? You see, God is calling each of us to a place of gathering, not to a place of scattering, a place where we work with him. There's not one person in this building this morning that's called by God to judge anyone else. Not one. But all of us this morning is called by God to love one another. All of us this morning is called to a place where we love other people. Because that's what you were created for. You were created so that God can come and live inside of you. You were created that His Spirit can dwell inside of you. You were created so that His love towards other people can flow through you towards other people. That's what you were created for. Is His love flowing through you towards other people or not? If you're judging, it can't. Are you gathering or are you scattering? Matthew 22 verse 38 and 39, which we read in the beginning. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I want to ask you the question this morning. Are you maybe in a place where you struggle to put your trust in God? I'm going to ask you to raise some hands now, but I want to ask everyone to keep your eyes closed. Yes, this is a place where we make ourselves vulnerable, but we know God is calling us to such a place. And I want to ask you to raise hands as I ask these things, not for me to see, not for someone else to see, but for you to acknowledge in front of God, saying, Lord, this is me. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need breakthrough in my life. Lord, I can't change myself. Maybe I've tried to do it, but I can't. Lord, I need you. So Lord, this morning I make myself vulnerable and I'm standing in front of you. Lord, I lift my hand up so that you can see me and that you can come and do something in my life. Do you struggle to put your trust in God? Anyone like that? Once you've put your hand up, you can put it down again. It's just acknowledging in front of God. Do you struggle to put your trust in God? Do you maybe struggle to trust other people? Do you struggle to trust other people? Do you struggle to open up towards other people? The next question I want to ask you is, are you in a place of not accepting people for who they are? Anyone that's here this morning that said, but Lord, I judge people. I judge people so easily. I don't want to, Lord, but I judge people. And Lord, I want you to come and change that. Lord, I understand for me to love people, you're asking me to love people, but then I can't judge them. I need you to help me to change this morning. Can you truly say you've got no offense with anyone else? Can you truly say this morning, Lord, there's nothing bad between me and other people? So Lord, I'm not scattering, I'm gathering. There's a lot of hands that went up this morning. And I just want to, I'm not going to call everyone to the front because it's quite a lot of people. So I just want to pray for us like we're standing here. Father, we're coming to you this morning. Father, we're proclaiming, Lord, that you are our source. Father, we proclaim this morning that we need you. Father, we know this morning that you've really got a heart for each of us. Yes, Lord, you've got a heart for the nations, but Lord, also you've got a heart for each of us. And Father, that heart of yours is for us to be able to get close to you, for us to experience your love, but also for other people to be able to experience your love through us. That's what you called us for. And therefore, this morning, Father, I want to ask you, Lord, to come and bring healing. I want to ask you this morning, Father, to come and restore in the name of Jesus Christ. To restore relationships, Father. To restore love towards one another. Father, that we won't be a church only talking about love and about how much we love you, Lord. But that we will be a church showing that love towards other people. Father, there's so many of us that are struggling to trust you. Because maybe something happened in our past. But Lord, we want to ask you to come and restore that this morning. That we will put our trust in you again. But also, Lord, that we will be able to open ourselves up towards other people. Allow other people to come close. To trust other people again in the way it's supposed to be. Father, we pray this, Lord, that you will be glorified. That it's not about us, it's not about anything else, it's all about you, for you to be glorified. And Father, we want to gather with you. We don't want to scatter your sheep. Therefore, Father, we need restoration. We need you, Lord, to come and to change us on the inside. John 13 verse 35 says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. I think, Father, it's so easy for us to call ourselves disciples. But Father, what I see in that scripture is that it can be measured. We're not a disciple if we say we're a disciple. We're a disciple if we love one another. Thank you, Father, that we know that you are calling us to that place of restoring that. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, that we were able to come together in your presence. Father, my prayer is, Lord, that you will be glorified through every change in every heart this morning, but also that you will be glorified in us going out into this world and by the fruit in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.